Please open in your Bibles to the letter to the Colossians. As I said last time, this passage or this portion of Paul's letter to the Colossians is built upon everything that's gone before. This is his directions to a Christian home. People who have been transformed by the work of the gospel, people who have been taken out of living in the pattern of this world, and now he's giving them new pattern in which they should live as they follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is to be a pattern which not only they follow as they live in this world, but is a witness to the world that watches them. They see that the Christian home and life is different because of God's work of grace. And so our lives are testimonies to God's work in our lives. So I'm going to read today Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. We looked at verse 18 last time I was with you. But hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Oh Lord, this is such a short passage, but so profound. And Lord, I pray that you would pour forth your grace today as we seek to live according to this command of love. And we pray, Lord God, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, you would strengthen us for this task, and that you would glorify your name as you work by your Spirit in and through us as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. Use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, very often, it's often the case when the pastor preaches that God speaks not only to the people in the pews, but also to the one who's preaching as well. And that's I'm keenly aware of that this morning, that as I bring God's word to you today, to husbands in particular, that this word is just as much for me as it is for you. God's word shines on us. It shows us what we are supposed to be, what we ought to be, and it also shows us what we are. It shows us what we're not. And this points us to the work and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, our need for him. But it also shows us how the word is used by Jesus to transform us, to be more and more like him. And that's my hope for you and me today. I ultimately hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will do a work in our hearts, that he will transform us, that we husbands would be transformed to love our wives better for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ and for the good of these blessed saints that he has entrusted into our care. At the end of the day, that's what this is really all about being a God-honoring husband by living and loving like Jesus. And that's the main point for you this morning. Be a God-honoring husband by living and loving like Jesus. Now, I realize that not all of you are husbands, and that's okay. And while I might be speaking primarily to and about husbands this morning, I pray that you would still listen carefully, because there are some general principles here about human relationships that I think we should all listen to carefully and be able to follow. General principles that reflect the goodness and the character of Jesus Christ that will be a blessing for us all. And so this word for you is not just for husbands. Now, Paul begins by simply saying, husbands, love your wives. And so as we consider that command, we would do well to first spend a little time thinking about what love is. Now, if you have that Foreigner song in your head now, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I'm sorry. but actually, that's my goal this morning, to talk to you about what love is. And I hope to show you what love is by looking at the character and work of Jesus Christ and that being our pattern as we love our wives. But first, the character of love. Paul calls husbands to love their wives. What does he mean by that? What kind of love is he talking about? Is he speaking about those warm fuzzies that one person has for someone else? That feeling that leads you to do nice things for other people? Well, no. In fact, Paul, along with the rest of the scriptures, presents a different conception of love. And so often you hear of relationships falling apart, and one of the reasons that is given is that, well, I just didn't love her anymore. Or I didn't love him anymore. Meaning that feeling of attraction or that excitement and warmth for the other person isn't there anymore. The butterflies in the stomach, they've fluttered away. And they're no longer there. And so the conclusion is that love is gone. But what we in our culture need to see and understand is that love and feelings are not the same thing. Love is not just that warm feeling one has that prompts him or her to kind action. But according to the scriptures, love, the true character of love is action. Action which is either accompanied by or followed by feelings. And yet, even in some cases, could be completely devoid of feelings. I mean, this is how and why Jesus can say, love your enemies. Usually you don't have the warm fuzzies in your heart for your enemies, do you? And yet, you are still commanded to love them. True love, according to the scriptures, is not based on feelings, but love is action expressed in relationship to someone else. And this is what you see in 1 Corinthians 13 when Paul gives his famous definition of love. Everything that he says love is in the form of an action, something you do, a way you behave or respond. And you and I need to see love in this way, because as long as we view love as a feeling only, then your relationship is going to be at the mercy of your emotions. It's going to be at the mercy of your feelings, and you know how fickle feelings can be, don't you? How volatile your emotions can become. And as volatile as your emotions are, that's how volatile and fickle your relationship will be, if it's based only on feelings. But Paul here is commanding action. He's commanding love. And so as we consider this command, I want us to think about this command and this relationship with the parallel passage that Paul gives us in Ephesians, where he says the same thing, Ephesians chapter 5. And when we do this, we see that Paul calls us to live with and love our wives like Jesus loves the church. In Ephesians, Paul calls husbands specifically to act as Christ toward their wives. This is how we are to live with them. This is how we are to love them. He says in Ephesians 5, 24 and 25, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." And so husbands, you are to be like Christ to your wives. You are his representative in the home, as it were. And the greatest way to love your wife is to exemplify Christ's love for the church. And I don't think we have a better pattern for that or a better picture of what that is like than what we have when we consider Christ's role for us as a mediator. And that's what I want to look at this morning as a pattern for how we are to live with and love our wives. Husbands, I want you to see Christ's mediatorial work as the pattern for the way in which you can love your wives. And so we'll look at the three main aspects or offices that Christ has as a mediator for his church: his office as a prophet, a priest, and as a king. And we'll look at how you as a husband can embody these roles toward your wife. So first, let's consider how we can love our wives like Jesus, our prophet. So when you think about the role of a prophet, generally the first thing you think of is somebody who tells the future, someone who foretells what's going to happen. And while prophets did do this, this actually wasn't their primary function in the scriptures. The main role of a prophet is one in which a person acts as a mediator between God and man and communicates God's word and God's will from God to man. That directs us in how we are to live. This is what Moses did. This is what Isaiah did. This is what Jesus did. Jesus communicates his Father's word to the church as his prophet. And brothers and sisters, I hope you see this is a precious act of love that Jesus fulfills as a prophet for his bride, the church. You see, it was God's word communicated to us by the prophet Jesus that teaches you the beautiful truths of the gospel. That God sent his Son into the world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me, which he accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. It was the word of your prophet Jesus that was spoken into your heart and called you to embrace him by faith as Savior and Lord for the forgiveness of your sins and for the salvation of your soul. What a beautiful act of love by Jesus, your prophet. But his love, it doesn't stop there, but Jesus continues showing his love for you as your prophet, communicating God's will by his word to you so that you would grow up in your salvation, that you would be more like Jesus, so that you would grow in holiness and sanctification. Christ shows love for you as a prophet and transforms you by his word. And this is just what Paul says that he does in Ephesians 5. And when he tells husbands to love their wives like Christ, listen again to what he says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And so in this passage, Paul speaks of Christ's role as a prophet, loving her, loving the church by cleansing her with the word. And husbands, this is what we are called to do. You are called to love your wife by fulfilling your role as a prophet who washes and cleanses her by the word of God. And there's two main ways in which you can do this. The first main way in which you can love your wife like Christ the prophet is to engage her in the word of God. Engage her in the word of God. To love your wife like Jesus your prophet is to love her by leading her into God's word. Read the word of God with her together at some point in the day. Help her gain a knowledge of God's word, an understanding of God's word. Help draw application from the text of Scripture that you're reading. Apply it to the circumstances of her life and of your life situation. There may be times when your wife finds herself in a very difficult situation and not sure what to do, needs help making a decision. Love like Jesus, your prophet, when you lead and guide her into the truth, bringing to bear the wisdom of the Scriptures to aid her in her circumstances, to guide her decisions. It's an important thing, a loving thing, to spend time in the Word with your wife. But related to this is also providing opportunities for her to spend time in the Word by herself as well. You love your wife by allowing her to have devotions on her own. How many of your lives are very busy and full and overwhelming? Very often the day may be full and hectic and busy. And you can show love to your wife by taking what responsibilities you can to relieve her just long enough that she can have time in the Word of God, have time with her God in His Word every day. And so you love your wife like Jesus, your prophet, by engaging her in the Word of God. Now, the second main way in which you can love your wife like Jesus, your prophet, is to speak like Jesus, your prophet. Remember, husbands, you are Christ's representatives to your wife. This means you speak to her and about her like Christ, the prophet, speaks to and about his people and the word of God. And first of all, this means obviously that you always, out of love, speak the truth. You never lie to your wife. You always speak words that are true, whether they come from you or wherever else they may come from. You also speak the truth in defense of your wife whenever she hears lies about who she is from the world or from Satan or even from her own heart. Combat those with the truth that you glean from the Word. Secondly, out of love, you do not belittle your wife with your words. Not before her, not before your children. You don't do it before your friends or coworkers either. You need to guard against the sinful tendency of only seeing your wife's shortcomings and commenting about them to her or to others, or complaining or comparing her with other people. Instead of speaking discouraging or belittling words about your wife or to your wife, you love her thirdly by commending her and encouraging her and building her up with your words. Proverbs 31:28 says, her husband also praises her. And so take note of the things that she does. Encourage her in the things that she does. Thank her for the work that she does. Acknowledge the ways that she tries to help you and bless your home. Do a little sanctified bragging, if you will, about your wife to your friends or to your coworkers or family. Commend her. Encourage her. Another way in which you can love your wife by speaking like Jesus, your prophet, is by comforting her with your words. This is what Jesus does as a prophet, does he not? Throughout the scriptures, Jesus is reminding us of the comfort we have in his promises. He comforts us in our affliction with words of hope and security. And so husbands, when your wife is hurting or discouraged or sad or fearful, do you just maintain a stoic, matter-of-fact disposition toward her? Speaking to her in a very bland or cold manner, simply reminding her in her difficult circumstances, well, you know, that's just life. And I may be speaking to no one other than myself when I say that. But comfort her with your words. Remind her of God's promises to her, his sovereignty in and over her life and circumstances. Remind her that he is forever good to her. Encourage her with hope. And remind her not only of his love for her, but of your love for her. And this is another way that you can love your wife, by speaking to her. And it's simply to tell her that you love her. Time and time again throughout the scriptures, Jesus speaks love to his people. And he didn't just simply perform his act of love in his life, death, and resurrection from the dead and never after that say that he loves us, just hoping that we would know it simply because of what he has done for us. Even, yes, he's done great things. But husbands, then, don't think that you don't need to say, I love you, to your wife, because she should just know that you love her because of how hard you work for her. But the words, I love you, should not be strangers to your lips. It shouldn't be reserved for just special occasions or when asked by your wife, do you love me? I love you are words that should be commonly heard around your home. And one final way in which you can love your wife in your speech as a prophet is in the tone and even the flavor of your words. Never speak harshly to your wife. Never raise your voice to your wife. This is something men like to do. This is the way we think that we can get our ways often. We like to rely upon our strength, either physically or with our voice, right? If we think if we could just speak loudly enough, everyone will bow to our will. That's not the picture that we have of Christ to his church. He's a God who speaks tenderly to his people. Even in times of direction or guidance or even correction and rebuke, if they may arise, in which you are calling your wife to live consistently to the word of God, never speak bitter words or harsh words toward her. That's what Paul points out in our passage from Colossians here. Husbands are not to be harsh with their wives. That word harsh in the original language actually relates specifically to a bitter taste left in someone's mouth. Quite interesting that Paul says that, especially seeing as how God's word, as communicated by the prophet, is as sweet in taste, right? Sweeter even than honey. Our words are to be sweet to our wives, directed by the word, the sweet word of God, and not bitter, not harsh. Husbands, love your wife like Jesus, your prophet. Secondly, in your role as husband, live with and love your wife like Jesus, your priest. The second role Christ executes as our Redeemer is his role as a priest. It's Jesus as a priest who offered himself once for all a sacrifice of atonement for his church. He paid the ransom necessary to redeem a people for himself, pouring out his life for the church. And it's this priestly act of Christ, it's this ultimate expression of love that has never been seen before by all mankind, that God would give up his own son for the sake of his church. And this work is done by Christ on behalf of his people. And it's this particular loving act that Paul identifies in Ephesians. In that same section we read about Christ being a prophet, we read of Christ's priestly act as well. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And greater love has no husband than he lay down his life for his wife. And husbands, that's what we are called to do. To love your wife like Jesus, your priest. You're called to live lives of sacrifice for your wives. Now, of course, this does not mean that you die a physical death, which brings atonement for your wife. That's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what I am talking about here. But Christ's act of sacrifice, his loving giving up of himself, giving over of himself for his church, is to be emulated by you in your relationship with your wife. This means that you do not live your life for your own good, for your own comfort, for your own pleasure, or for your own benefit. But you live your life for the sake of your wife. This means your interests, your desires, your comfort and satisfaction take second place when it comes to your wife. Husbands, I know that you're tired when you come home from work at the end of the day. It's been a long day. You've dealt with stressful things, difficult people and circumstances, and all you can think about doing is just unwinding and relaxing and indulging yourself for once. In the day, you've been given of yourself all day long. All you want to do is indulge yourself. And as much as you want to do this, as much as you think you're entitled to a little bit of me time when you get home, you must remember your calling to love your wife like Jesus, your priest. To be one who sacrifices himself for his wife like Christ sacrificed himself for the church. And you must die to yourself and pour yourself out for your wife. And friends, I know this isn't an easy thing to do. In fact, to not live for yourself is probably one of the most difficult things that a human being living in this sinful world can do. And this is why we must desperately beg for God's grace and strength in prayer, that you might live as he has called you to live, which is to die for your wife. This idea of prayer brings up the other aspect of Christ loving us as a priest. Christ, as the priest, forever lives to make intercession for his church. And this is just another way that we as husbands can love our wives. We're to pray for them. We're to pray with them. Lift your wives up before the throne of grace. Pray that she would be strengthened and upheld to make it through the day. Pray that she would be delivered from her temptations. Pray that she would grow in her relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray for strength and patience as she has to submit herself to you. And pray for the concerns and the troubles and fears that she has. And brothers, this requires that you talk with her then. Right? You need to know what's going on in her heart. It requires some investigation on your behalf that you may better pray for her. Listen to her fears, her concerns, her struggles. Don't keep them at arm's length, but sympathize with them. Just as Jesus, your high priest, took on flesh that he might better know us, that he could sympathize with us. Put yourself in your wife's shoes. Try to see and know things from her perspective. And then pray for her regarding these things. Pray with her regarding these things. You love your wife like Jesus, your priest, when you pray for her and you pray with her. One final aspect in this matter of loving your wife like Jesus, your priest, is the priest's duty to lead the people into the presence of God and worship. This Jesus did definitively for his church when he opened up a new and living way for his people that we might worship the Lord. And you love your wife like Jesus, your priest, by leading her into the worship of God. And I'm not talking about our corporate worship services here, church services, although men, your wives should not be the only ones who take the children out of the worship service when they're upset. They need to hear the word just as much as you do. But I'm talking about in the home, as you engage in family worship. Love your wife by bringing her before the face of God as you read and sing and discuss God's word together. Husbands, love your wife like Jesus, your priest. Well, the third role you play as loving husbands to your wife is living with and loving your wife like Jesus, your king. That's the third and final role that Christ executes in his office as a mediator, is that of a king. And Christ as king lovingly protects and defends his church. He lovingly exercises authority over us as the church. And it's this exercising of authority over the church, it's his kingship that Paul refers to once again in that Ephesians passage where he discusses the relationship between husband and wife. Verse 22 and 23 of chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so in this passage, we see that we are to love our wives like Jesus, your king, and that we're to exercise authority in the way that Christ rules and is the head of the church. And so husbands can love their wives in several ways in this regard. The first of which is to exercise loving authority over your wife. Now, notice I said loving authority over your wife. That's the kind of authority that Jesus exercises over his people. Jesus is not a tyrant exercising his authority, but loving authority. And just as an exercise for you to do later today, I'd encourage you to take that word authority, that phrase, loving authority, and take it to 1 Corinthians 13. And take out loving and put in all of those descriptive phrases that Paul uses to identify what love is. Patient authority. Kind authority. An authority that's not rude. An authority that thinks the best. And plug those in and see what kind of authority that you are to have in the home. It's a beautiful one. It's a loving one. It's not a tyrannical one. Jesus is gentle and patient. And though God has granted you the final authority in the home, it's not to be used as some sort of trump card so that you can get your way. But he has given your wife to you as a queen. And as we looked at last time when we were considering the role of your wife, we saw that even the wife's mouth pours forth wisdom. And so you listen. The decisions that are made in the home are made together with your wife. And even if you come to the point, even if you are convinced for one reason or another to make a decision contrary to what your wife may think, you must do so cautiously and with much humility and prayer for peace and unity, being sure not to give the impression that your wife's opinion doesn't matter or is of lesser value. Loving authority. Secondly, you show love to your wife like Jesus, your king, and recognizing and encouraging the use of her gifts that the Lord has granted her. When Jesus was risen and ascended on high, he gave gifts as a king to his church. And as his representatives in this way, we want to be sure that we care for your wife to relieve her from some of the overwhelming burdens that she has in order to exercise the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to her so she can express her gifts and talents. A third way in which you can love your wife like Jesus, your king, is by protecting and defending her. And this can be done in many different ways. Your wife needs physical protection. She may be trying to do more than she is physically capable of doing. Guard her from exhaustion. Take on some of the responsibilities that you can. Pull them upon yourself. Relieve her burdens. You can defend her by standing up for her against the criticisms and disrespectful remarks of others. And we need to especially keep this in mind when we're thinking about our children. Husbands, how do your children speak and behave toward your wife? Do they have a clear sense that when they speak to their mother, that they are speaking to your wife? I would encourage you, the next time that you see any of your children speaking to your wife in a disrespectful way or acting toward her in a disrespectful way, that you don't just remain silent. And you don't even just say, you shouldn't talk to your mom like that. But you actually physically put yourself between your wife and your children and you say, you don't speak to my wife like that. They need to be clear that when they speak to her, they speak to your wife. You need to defend her, even from your own children at times. You also love her by defending her from harmful influences. Are you aware of the kinds of books that she reads? Or maybe the TV shows that she watches or movies that she watches, friends she may have that have an overly negative influence. You need to defend her against harmful influences. Now, please hear me. I'm not advocating absolute control or manipulation over her life or friends. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you need to know and be aware of the influences upon her soul. What's impacting the way she thinks? It's your responsibility to watch over and guard her and protect her. And so if you begin to recognize a negative influence in her life, a toxic person or a toxic situation, go to God and pray that He would be working in both of your hearts so that you would both see this influence from God's perspective. And then caringly and gently and lovingly speak to your wife about it and express your concern about how such and such influence may be impacting her spiritual life. It's your job to defend her against harmful influences. And this is one of the ways Adam failed Eve in the garden. And not only did he fail her as a prophet, when Satan came and started speaking lies, he should have spoke truth against the lies. Not only did he fail her in even the aspect of a priest, that when Eve took of the fruit and ate and sinned, leading to death, instead of taking the fruit of himself, he should have turned to God and said, take me instead. But he also failed in his role as a king, that when Satan came and started speaking lies against the word of God, trying to deceive his wife, his first action should have been to step in front of her and crush the head of the serpent then, and not allowed it to persist. He was given the job to care and to tend, to guard the garden, and even guard his wife. You must defend your wife. And just a word to the wives here then. If your husband comes to you and he starts to talk to you about a concerning influence that he sees in your life, I'd encourage you not to immediately throw up the defensive walls and say, well, hold on a second. But prayerfully consider what he is saying. Go to the Lord in prayer yourself and ask the Lord to reveal the circumstances clearly to you and to your husband. Yet maybe there's a misunderstanding, a misperception on his behalf, and you can come to a better understanding of what's going on. But think about it and recognize that your husband isn't attacking you. Your husband isn't trying to control you, but he loves you and he wants to protect you. Fourthly, one final way in which you can love your wife like Jesus, your King, is by serving your wife. Jesus said he came into the world not to be served, but to serve. The King of the universe is one we see kneeling down and washing the disciples' feet. Just because you have the position of authority in your home does not make your wife a servant. But if you would love her like Christ, then you willingly and joyfully serve her in whatever way she needs. And so, man, there's nothing unmasculine about doing the dishes, cleaning the house, taking care of children, or going shopping. Although when I go shopping with my wife, I never put the bag on my shoulder. I always carry it out like this, just to be clear that, well, Never mind. But when you come home from work or from your day off or whatever it may be, ask your wife how you can help her. Ask her what you can do for her that would help relieve the burden of the day. Maybe even surprise her by doing something for her that she didn't expect. You got to be wise about that one, though, because I've found sometimes I'll try to surprise my wife with something, and I end up screwing things up worse than if I would have just left it alone in the first place, like doing laundry. I've bled so many colors, shrunk so many things, destroyed so many garments. Don't be afraid of the work, but ask what needs to be done and perhaps how it needs to be done. That's an okay thing to do. Humble yourselves. But husbands, love your wife by loving like Jesus, your King. Men, to love like this, to love like Jesus, is really a high calling, isn't it? To consider everything that we looked at today seems in many ways perhaps out of reach or unrealistic. And I don't want you to think, and I don't want your wives to think, that if you're not loving like this, that means that you don't care for them or that you don't love them. That's not what I'm trying to communicate this morning. But I'm trying to set the goal. I'm trying to point you to Jesus and to his character and to his work, that you would be like him. If we would truly live with and love our wives more fully, that if we would show honor to our wives more fully, treat them with the gentleness and respect that they deserve, if we would honor and love those recipients of gospel grace, those daughters of the King, more fully, if we would see our wives flourish and thrive, and brothers, we want to love them like Jesus. And if this is not what your home or your marriage is like right now, if your home and your marriage is a far cry from anything I've articulated today, I want to remind you of the hope and power of the gospel. If the gospel is powerful enough to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, if the gospel is able to take you who were enemies of God and make you right with him, then the gospel is capable to transform your life and transform your marriage into something that is far beyond your hopes or your expectations. This is God's work. He can do it in your lives. So love your lives like Jesus by throwing yourselves before the mercy of grace of God, asking for the forgiveness of your sins, pleading with him that he would give you the grace and strength to be who he calls you to be, to do what he calls you to do, because we cannot do this on our own. We cannot do this in our own strength, and our wives deserve more than what our graceless attempts at loving them can look like. We must pursue Jesus ourselves. We have to give our hearts, our love, our lives to our wives by giving our hearts, our love, our lives to Jesus Christ. And so set your minds on the gospel and love like Jesus has loved. Set your minds and your hearts upon the gospel love he has shown you, and then by that grace, set your life to love Jesus like Jesus. Set your life to love your wife like Jesus loves the church. And may it be so, and may he be glorified in our homes. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, this is a tall order, but it is not beyond your power. And Lord, we ask that you would pour out your grace into our homes. Change us from what we are into what you desire us to be. And we pray that you would receive the glory and honor for the love that is shown in our homes. Lord, we recognize that living in such a way is not going to earn us any additional standing or favor by you. But Lord, we're so thankful for the way in which you've worked in our hearts, that you have taken our families out of the pattern of this world and made them gospel families, and we want them to display that. And so help us to do that by your grace. Give what you command. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.